Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. I hope you had a wonderful week. I hope you have a better weekend to follow. And just so you know, I'm here with my co-host Rex, Intimidus Rex, that is, to everybody. That's the only way you can look them up around here. And Weaver of Dreams. So hello, Rex, and hello, Kate. Welcome to the party.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello,
hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
Ready to rock. Ready to rock, babe.
Oh, yeah. You can rock. I'm going to roll. Rocking's too rough on the old bones. Rolling is much smoother. Just saying.
Okay. We'll stick with
maybe
that,
I
then.
Maybe I better behave because that could get mistaken.
If you're a rolling stone, it's easy on everything.
There you go. There you go. That kind of encompasses the whole kit. Oh, my heavens, Betsy. Yeah, so. Ooh, you guys had a great week. Tell me all about it. Hopefully it was a good one. I know, Rex, you've been busy on and off during the week. You and Kate has, too.
Yeah,
bopping from show to show. Like a couple of bees pollinating the flowers. That's you two. And
oh,
Pam.
Yes. Yes.
Don't shortchange anybody. You're all busy.
Busy little bees.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a pretty full board tonight. And it looks kind of diverse, like normal, which I like. It's pretty good. You can have us bouncing around trying to figure out what end of the world we're sitting on at any given time. I like that. All kinds of fun. So, yeah. So, I don't know. Uh-oh. Don't start that, Rex. Just bounce.
What's wrong?
Yeah.
Tell me what's wrong.
Oh, Rex, he fell off the line. Oh, here he is. He's back.
Oh, good. Phew.
No, I hung up because everything was cracking, but now everything is clear.
Oh, kiddo.
I was going to mess with you and say, what took you so long? But I figured, well, yeah. Oh, okay. So that's what you said, we're cracking up? Is that what you're saying?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, guess again. Guess again.
I get caught every time I crack up. I don't understand it. I don't know. Terrible. Well, I guess we should get started because I don't really have an agenda lined up for tonight, although I probably should, but I do not. But don't worry, as it comes to me, I'll spit it out, you know, like
wing
that, because that's probably the best way. What'd you say, Rex? Am I supposed to wait? You know what you said?
I said wing it.
Wing it.
Well,
we
could probably
damn, do a
little bit of comedy. I'm very good at winging. Oh, I know a girl. Her name is Hillary. Took her for a walk down by the distillery.
Ooh.
Then we got four. Now I'm in the distillery. Poor old Donnie Shazbot.
Oh, my gosh. See what happens when we improv around here? Oh, my gosh.
Shouldn't happen to somebody. Shouldn't happen.
Well, you line up your one for halftime, then we have you another sing another one. It's got to be almost as clean. Okay, here we go. Kate, I'm going to have you read the first one for us, and this is The Sun to the Rainbow, to Their Rainbow, by Jenny Hunt, 2017, or Jenny the Deep, or Jenny the Morbid Poet. So, I'm not sure what one is going to come up to.
We got three.
Yep. It's by Jenny.
That might be Jenny the safest way to go, yes. We just by Jenny. The Sun to Their Rainbow by Jenny the Deep. Taste the rainbow, but why? What's in a rainbow that's so sweet? Stop and smell the roses. No, thank you. Not a chance, not with these allergies. They want me to stop and breathe, take life in. How when life doesn't wait for us and death keeps taking us? Feeling like a frustrated, faltering, failing female. Talking to myself like no one can hear me. Can't they? Am I really just thinking out loud? Or does anyone care to listen and answer? No, it's just me here, alone on my cold bed. Trying not to overthink life and to listen to wise words of advice. But the rainbow just isn't reachable, and the wilting roses hurt my nose. All these insatiable demands put on me. Letting go of these impossible dreams to live how I want, whether it's life to the fullest, or living like it's my last or first day on earth. I will decide what's best for me. Tasting a fading rainbow isn't my dream. I want to be as bright as the sun, bringing out the rainbow in others after enduring harsh storms inside themselves. Poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Jean, you get to go first.
Yeah, we know I'm good at that, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I like when she started out, taste the rainbow. But why? What's in a rainbow that's so sweet? Stop and smell the roses? No, thank you. Not a chance. Not with these allergies. Well, that's not a win-win there. That's like, you know, not a good place. You know, it's like frustrations, I guess. You know, there's no way to get ahead on those. But I thought it was clever. And then it's like trying not to overthink life and to listen to wise words of advice. But the rainbow just isn't reachable. And the wilting roses hurt my nose. All these insatiable demands put on me. But I have to say, I really like the ending stanza. Tasting a fading rainbow isn't my dream. I want to be as bright as the sun, bringing out the rainbow in others. after enduring harsh storms inside themselves. You know, yeah, that's not all for me, but I want to help somebody else, you know, attain it, you know. I thought that was kind of neat the way she did that. So nice work, Jenny. Well done, piece. And I like it. I like where we came in and where you left with. Yeah, good job. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. All right, Kate, mm-hmm. You got to read it. How about you?
It was a delight to read, and I do like the fact that it started off with these wonderful questions, you know, why should I be smelling roses with my allergies? So we have that to begin with. But then, you know, a lament about how things are not as they should be, and she's feeling frustrated and failing. She feels she's failing, which is, you know, understandable when you're in that kind of mental mood. But then, like, the way it starts to pick up and we get to the end stanza, which we were talking about, and I did like that, tasting a fading rainbow isn't my dream. So, yeah, pick yourself up and get on with it. And that's about the best mm-hmm. advice you can give anybody. You know, go and find your sun and give other people a rainbow to get to the end of. So I thought it was very mm-hmm. well done. Thank you so much for sharing, Jenny.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. This is one of those full circle pieces. Start out a little bit on the downside, and it walks itself into answering its own questions. But I got to start with a pun. Taste the rainbow. But why? What's in a rainbow that's as sweet? Skittles. Got to be the Skittles.
Yeah.
Taste the rainbow.
Of course.
Couldn't resist that. I understand the angle with the allergies. Yeah, a lot of people suffer, and even with Benadryl and other things, that kind of fogs the mind too. So maybe some things aren't your cup of tea, but there are other things you go. Those first three stanzas hit on the note of a sadness. And then you get a slight turn with that fourth stanza, but the fifth stanza is the real go-getter. Letting go of these impossible dreams to live how I want, whether it's life to the fullest or living like it's my last or first day on earth, I will decide what's best for me. Well, Jen, whether it's the last or first day on earth, they're both the same thing. Enjoy it as it is. Whether it's the first or the last, they're both the same thing. And that last stanza offers up the turnaround from the opening sadness to where you really want to be. And that's as part of the rainbow itself, not reaching for the rainbow. Something to color life in others. Nicely done. And sorry for the pun. Oh, Jean, we're back at you.
It was a good pun.
Oh, you want me to do something? Damn.
Yeah, I could. Well.
Oh, well, Kate and I were talking about, it was Pam and I. We were talking about letting you guys do the show. I said, I'm so tired to go. Well, just tell them. I'll do that. See, but I didn't do it. I showed up. I was good. Give me 2 seconds.
You're tired?
I
had the races the last couple of days, and they decided, since this was their last day here, they wanted to go outside at 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So I've been up a long time.
Little bastard. God bless.
Oh, big bastards, all three of them.
Funny, they didn't bring any gifts this time, did they?
No, I did. I went different. I said, you're going out one at a time because I'm not having you raise hell at 3 o'clock on a bloody morning. The coyotes and the wolves like to howl out this way sometimes. And then we've got the barred owls talking back. So I said, we're having none of that. You go out, pee and poop one at a time, which took about 30 minutes.
No parties out there.
Yes.
Exactly.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is going to be A Nest of Vipers. Soliloquy, Claudius, Roman Emperor by Stellina. And I have an audio for that. So here we go.
Slimy serpents slither, hissing in mires of mendacity, laying foul eggs of corruption and conspiracy, bursting open, oozing with murderous machinations. Forked tongues, spitting venom, seeking destruction, tainting the might, the essence of Rome. What lofty ideals and genius exist in those who hold her dear in their hearts. Forward thinkers striving to achieve the greatness for this our jewel amongst elevated empires with sublime art and poesy which civilize with grace and beauty. Thus, not only to be feared, but admired and extolled through the annals of time. Dripping daggers that pierce the very heart with avidity mar our honor with infamy. So the name of Rome is not spoken with reverence and love, but spat from lips cursed with contempt, reviled. I weep for loss of those sweet days of savants which filled my soul with ambrosia, and for my beloved Rome, my all.
Great read. Thank you for the sound cloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Kate, we're going to start with you.
Well, that was amazing. Wow. Spooky. Very spooky. I mean, obviously, it's not the very best of stories, our poor Claudius. But, wow. I mean, imagine being able to change your voice with an app like that. That is so clever. Well done, Selena. Very well done. You got that stammer down to a Yes, and thank you so much for sharing. I can only say it was spooky, but it was very well read and such a good story to tell. So thank you so much for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean. How about you?
I thought this was a great share by Selena. You know, I said here that I thought it was an excellent piece, and I love the stutter in the voice. I thought that really added something to it, very much so. I thought the thoughts were well stated throughout the poem, and I really liked that. but I have to say, I loved your formatting as well. I think that this is a great piece all the way around. Between the voice and the formatting of the poem into the shape of the snake, the tale that was told, the story that was told, and the voice in which he told it, I think it really all came together beautifully. So excellent job, Selena, and thanks for sharing with us. Great job.
Absolutely. Yes, I like the formatting too, and I'm glad she went with the undulating angle. Otherwise, this would have looked like something else. entirely. Mm-hmm. And I like the voice changing app. It's well used. The music added a nice eerie tone to the voice, trying to impart his thoughts as to what's going on as everything corrupts and falls down around his ears. There is that note to the sadness as well as the list, or not the list, the stutter that walked within the tone. So that played out very well, and the fact that come down the end, Rome my all, does show deference to what they were over such a long time, only to fall. Hey, like all huge civilizations and great empires, you let Sodom and Gomorrah in, eventually you burn yourselves to the ground. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Selena.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. All good stuff. Now, the next one on the board is a piece called by Ben Hart called I've Since Reached 23. And this also has an audio. So let me hit that button.
I've Since Reached 23, a poem by Ben Hart. I will die here. In 2014, I should have taken her advice the first time. On that Greek bus, with my head on my guardian angel's shoulder, daughter screaming through shared earphones, run, run, run. When in my teenage dysphoria, I smothered Sam in her sleep and screamed for the last time, I am so sorry, but that's a thing of beauty I'll never be. But maybe God will make it even, and our next life will be through your eyes. I will die here in 2015. I should have let you go then, the first time you died, instead of checking the eyes of every passerby twice for signs of you hidden away within, somewhere safe. I am sorry I've been keeping you alive, like a kid with a kite. Maybe I was jealous you were the only one who got to fly. And God, if you saved her, why couldn't you save me? I can't remember when was the last day I was just able to breathe, and I'd desperately heave hope down heavy lungs. I know suffering is for the faithful, but life was happier before she had to leave. And I'm sorry that I spent so many nights writing myself eulogies before I knew what dying meant. Have I failed you, Lord? Lord, show me the depths of my descent, and if you would, Lord, lend me the hand of a friend. Because the fight for survival against the tide will never end. It will ebb and flow from the parting of our lips to the shores of hope and back again. And I will die here in 2018, where we were so beautifully blue, smoking three packs a week, and depression was the password to the clubhouse of the kids who decided themselves they were cool. NF, translating our suppressed truths into fuel for flights into fantasy. And you'd say, my dear, tears are temporary. Trauma's last migration into fleeting. But if you do not grant them their due freedom, they will turn to tumors and those will eat you. And all I ever replied was, pray for me, preacher. Though I know God is good, because God gave me a brotherhood that does not depend on blood, so I am not alone in holding back the flood. And when all these people love me so, why do I feel like I don't know what happiness is in their absence? Here's me at 23, almost a thing of beauty. And whenever I'll be dying last, I just hope they'll be glad they knew. And at that funeral, everyone should speak, because that is hopefully what my life will have been. Sad music and a whole lot of talking. And I wished, oh how I wished, I could tell the world to love itself by the wanderlust of the wind. Message in a bottle, bottoms up. Bliss is when your eyes become the cameras that make the movie of memories. Our dying minds will project onto eternity. End poem.
Great read, Ben. Thank you very much for the sound out. It's much appreciated. All right, Gene, I'm going to kick it with you.
Wow. What a piece. There's like a whole lot of melancholy running through this piece, and it might even be a little deeper than that. You know, sadness and melancholy and regret's not the right word. But it's kind of painful to listen to because you can feel the emotions. And I think that's what is so great about Ben's writing is he transfers that emotion over to his readers. And he does that very well, no matter which piece it is that we're reading. You know, when he starts out about his head on the guardian angel's shoulder, daughter screaming through shared earphones, run, run, run. You know, I was like, whoa. And then he gets into maybe God can even, you know, and then he goes in through the years, you know, the different 2015, 2018, and then the depression kicks in. And I just think that it's just amazingly well written and expressed. I think the emotions were really well done, well conveyed to the readers. And yeah, so top notch, Ben, for real. And yeah, I don't even know if I can comment on the depth of the piece, but I think that you did a fine job here. So thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, that was that was painful to hear. There was so much pathos and pain. He conveyed exactly what he wanted to convey. He could have just read me a newspaper, but that tone of voice, that sadness and pain, it would have told me everything. Ah, my goodness, it's just putting yourself out there, isn't it? I hope it was cathartic, but this is definitely letting it out and letting us know and letting us feel, and I certainly did. My heart is now heavy, and I hope that tomorrow is better and the next day is better and things get better. I really do, because this is not the way you want to live or should have to feel. So I just hope you feel better because you've written this. I really do. But thank you so much, Ben. It was from your heart, and it certainly touched mine. So thank you.
Nice. Thank you, ladies. I get the years had me intrigued, 14, 15, 18, and so on. There were landmarks of some kind, whether it's a note to the pain in love lost or the angle of moving into another realm that that is more difficult, something you don't understand in the moment. And that thought, the idea of the death here is the you that you were is no longer there because you've transformed into this medium in this year because of something that that meaningful happened or something horrific happened. And in the moment, it's on the idea of teenage dysphoria. I smothered Sam in his sleep and screamed for the last time. I am so sorry, but that's a thing of beauty I'll never be. But maybe God will make it even, and our next life will be through your eyes. So the smothering angle kind of hits on the idea. It is a real death. It's the idea of impartation where two split for some reason. And it hits on the note of God and understanding there is a God. And but the trouble being, why do I need to suffer on this angle? Why cannot I not have a little bit of help going forward? And let's see, and that thought, and you say, my dear, tears are temporary, traumas last, migration is deep bleeding, but if you do not grant them their due freedom, they will turn to tumors and those will eat you. And all I ever replied was, pray for me, teacher. The idea of not being able to taking in that information, but not being able to transfer in the self, because you let that kind of that angle of whether it's trauma, whether it's depression, melancholy, whatever, it will eat you alive. And it kind of evolves in on itself and grows further out, making life that much more harder. So, and like Jean said, and Kate, you said, this does impart something from the heart, and does hold a ton of feeling within it. Well done, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ben's got some awesome poetry. Do I know? Nope, I don't know, but it's okay. Nobody can help me right now. Okay. Rex, I'm coming to you, man. I'm coming to you with a piece by Joseph Moon. Joseph Moon. Yes, sir. We bye-bye. There we go. And whenever you are ready.
The Image of Infinite Love by Joseph Moon. As I gaze upon my beloved bride's face, my heart fills with new leaves and roses opening and the night bird's song. I weep. Tears fall into my wine cup. I drink the tears, brought on my lips. My mouth becomes a vineyard where joy and beauty gracefully dance. The light of love enters my soul, extinguishing the darkness. Naked I walk. Love is my only companion. And poem. All right.
Nice
hey,
read.
Kicking it with you. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't seen one from Jacob in a while. So this is nice.
What I want to do? Me?
No, I hadn't seen one from Joseph in a while.
I know. Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
This is certainly nice. The Image of Infinite Love. Wow. It's saccharinely sweet, isn't it? It's just so sweet. I enjoy it. I don't know whether this is tongue-in-cheek or whether this is meant to be as sweet as it is, but either way, it's very well done. I quite enjoy it, apart from the fact that he's weeping, not so much with the weeping, but I love it. I drink the tears, sweet grapes sprout on my lips. My mouth becomes a vineyard where joy and beauty gracefully dance. The light of love enters my soul, extinguishing the darkness. Naked I walk. Love is my only companion. Oh, self-love. Okay, that's not a bad thing. I thought it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. It flowed beautifully. Some lovely lines. My heart fills with new leaves and roses opening and the night bird's song. Beautiful. Yes, so I enjoyed the beauty and the sweetness of this particular poem. And thank you so much for sharing it with us, Joseph.
Thanks, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Well, where do you begin? It's a wonderful piece, wonderful brevity. And I love each line all the way through. I mean, it had a lot of wonderful imagery. I thought it was just, I don't know, it was beautiful. And I'm with Kate. They were the lines I was going to speak on. You know, I gaze upon my beloved bride's face. My heart fills with new leaves and roses opening. And the night bird's song, I weep. I what a lovely thought in this. Just beautiful work, Joseph. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Excellent work. Excellent. Yep.
Nice. Thank you. You know what? This card, there's something ancient about this, or maybe not ancient, but if you you look at what's imparted, not the language, not the the language, so to speak, but the voice, there is almost a Shakespearean note to this, how it's imparted to the ear as I gaze upon my beloved bride's face. My heart fills with new leaves and roses opening and the night bird's song. I weep. That note for there with the exclamation point is not in sorrow, but in happiness. And he also hit on a couple of other lines which offer up intriguing. Sweet grapes sprout on my lips. The light of love enters my soul, extinguishing the darkness. That offers up a note to spirituality. Naked I walk. Love is my only companion. And the idea of naked I walk offers that note of shedding one's sins and being able to live as what he's offered up front, his beloved bride's face. And love is my only companion. That goes both ways with the his bride, but also with the spirituality offered up, extinguishing the darkness. So Nicely done, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put this next piece up, which is called Shades of April Spring by L.G. May. And I'm going to give this one a read. Let me see what's happening. The Shades of April Spring. The green, the flourishing green that surrounds you after winter's snowy white, the golds of tulips and daffodils in the sunshine growing so bright, the pastel mauve of crocuses and lilac that wraps up all your senses, making everything seem so right. The buds blooming in a spring garden, making up a colorful rainbow, and all the other seedlings planted, waiting for the spring palette to show. These are all the shades of April spring, touching your heart, filling your senses, so awesomely amazing. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Katie, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is so pretty. The shades of April spring, all these lovely colors and flowers and sunshine. It is magical. The pastel mauve of crocuses and lilac that wraps up all your senses, making everything seem so right. It's true. Once spring comes and you start to see the beautiful flowers, it does. It lightens everything up. You have this rainbow around you. And, of course, that's just the beginning. It gets better and better. But these are all the shades of April spring, touching your heart, filling your senses so awesomely amazing. I do love the delight in this. There's such an awful lot of happiness and delight about what's going on around in spring, and I really appreciate that because it is a lovely season. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, LG. It was great.
Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, how about you? You got to read it.
Yes, I did, and I really liked it. I thought it was really wonderful. Picture painted in this, because as I was reading it, I'm thinking of, white snows, and how it starts to change over to green. And then all those early flowers, the tulips and the daffodils and the crocuses. The lilacs wasn't one I would have thought of, but they may come up early in some areas. I always think of the snowdrops and the bleeding hearts and all of that. But I thought there was just a wonderful picture that really she did paint line by line. And then it was, she talked about the buds blooming in the spring garden making up a colorful rainbow. And it's very true. We're back to a rainbow again. There's a theme here. But then it talks about the other seedlings planted waiting for the spring palette to show. Just beautiful. And I think that LG did a wonderful job with this. So it was really nice to have it shared on the show tonight. Thank you, LG.
Oh, absolutely. I got some of this myself. That winter's snowy white, the golds of tulips and daffodils. Yes, my daffodils were massive this year. And I've had my Rose of Sharon hanging down out of my crepes. And I've had my miniature pink, I don't know if they're Queen Elizabeth's, but they look like it, little roses, very tiny, just like the Rose of Sharon. And my irises, I've got deep purple, light purple, yellow, and something akin to a brownish with some purple streaks in it. Those irises are growing well. And I got some lavender plants that are peeping out, and the peach tree looks real good. Buds everywhere.
Yeah,
if a bloody squirrel can get off it, I'll be all right. And if this weather warms up enough for my vegetables to start, they've been growing for weeks now, and they've barely gotten over 2 inches.
Wow.
Sounds like you've got a lovely garden there.
Oh, it's quite fruitful this year with all the rain we've had.
Yeah,
and the rain
course,
we will continue to have. I've got more coming.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. We get the rain, but we don't get the heat. That's the trouble. Nothing grows here.
Well, it did. Right now, we haven't. New York's had a 90-degree day already. we haven't barely hit 80, and that we did once so far. Normally right around now, I'd be out in the yards every day in shorts, and it's 85. And I've got these huge, huge oak trees. So when you walk in the yard in the sun and it's 85, 90, 95, you get under one of those big oak trees and it drops 10 degrees quickly.
Yeah, I believe
that.
Sounds
heavenly. Sounds wonderful. And of course, now I cannot get the picture of you in your shorts out of my mind. Thank you for that.
Come on. Reel yourself in, Jonathan. Reel yourself in.
I will. I'll be good.
Now, for now, you will be. I know you. You'll be bad. Yes.
Oh,
that's all right.
Yeah, I like what Aaron offered up. Two things grow in Scotland, the mists and the moors.
There you go.
Well done. True. Very true.
Helen, it's amazing. Oh, my. I'm not going to figure out what I did wrong. Did something wrong. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I got two more audios to follow on this, so I'm going to give it a whirl.
Oh.
First one I have is by Sapphire Rose, and it's called Doberman Dominant.
Oh.
I'm going to put that up. Down boy. I love you. Oh my God. I'm going to get in trouble someday being so silly. Okay, here we go.
Doberman Dominance by Sapphire Rose. I tread lightly on thinning ice, slipping on past traumas, fighting this inner war was irrefutable. However, you're that mangy Doberman that almost scalped me as a young girl. I smiled, knowing the one decent thing you did was to put that dog down cold, with several boots to the head. But it was all a facade, wasn't it, Dad? Because the darkness that passed over your eyes that day was a glimpse into the real monster beyond your parental mask. Childhood plagued with chilly interactions, unless those desires flew under the radar. Beyond this open silence, the night winds blow across treetops, twisting shadows, painting sinister imagery along moonlit walls. With a sudden strident yowl from the depths of my gut, it's primal and raw, and my fear screams out across the night. In dreams, I pirouetted on thinning ice through a prism of glass. I bared witness to your mockery, so I sliced into my flesh, spilling my acidic blood encircling your face, sparking an internal flaming rose. My voice drips red, condemning you under my veil with hymns beyond the realm of hell. End poem.
Great read, Sapphire. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. Boy, that was deeply expressive. And Gene, how about you? What did you think?
This is a pretty painful piece in a lot of ways. You know, at the very beginning, I mean, she really captured me, you know. I tread lightly on thinning ice, slipping on past traumas, fighting this inner war was irrefutable. However, you're that mangy Doberman that almost scalped me as a young girl. I smiled, knowing that one decent thing you did was put that dog down cold with several boots to the head. But it was all a facade, wasn't it, Dad? That question right there kind of stops you in your tracks. Because it's like, oh, wow. You know, I thought it was a hard, well, it was going to be a hard read from the beginning. But when you get to that question, you know, there's really going to be something lying ahead. So it drags you, it pulls you, that's a better word, into the next part, which gives her a place to vent and to express the real thoughts that lie a little deeper in this right. And I think that Sapphire Rose did a wonderful job expressing this. And I want to thank you, Sapphire, for sharing with us. Wonderful work. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Kate, how about you?
Well, firstly, that was a fabulous sound cloud. That was so well read. I got every nuance of how you were feeling. And the words, well, I mean, that is not nice. That is, no one should have to put up with that kind of thing. And unfortunately, I'm finding out that my idea of family life is pretty flawed. I just can't believe sometimes what happens. I really, a Scottish word, just makes me angry. I just get so angry. I think, I'm sorry, it's just not enough. It's not good enough. It should never happen, and it does. So I have to say thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and letting us have a glimpse into what your life was like, and I really wish it wasn't like that for you. So I'm really sorry. But thank you for sharing that with us.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. That picture imparts quite a bit, you know, and the title, Doberman Dominance, and the idea of how she's laid this out. I tread lightly on thinning ice, slipping on past traumas, fighting this inner war was irrefutable. A great note to the idea of knowing and understanding it's a battle. A constant battle you have to not just tread around or walk lightly around, but you have to deal with. And then that second stanza, however, you're that mangy doberman that almost scalped me as a young girl. That, with the next one down, are a double thought, because it isn't just the dog. The offering there is that of her father as that mangy doberman, even though there was one good thing, putting down that Doberman with the swift kicks as the Doberman actually tried to bite into the skull itself. The double thought was it wasn't just the Doberman that bit into the skull, the mind, the psychological trauma that was wielded then. But it was all a facade, wasn't it, Dad? That's a chilling note, because from then on down, she actively gives you the idea of what went on with the angle of beyond the open silence. The night winds blew across treetops, twisting shadows, painting sinister imagery along moonlight walls. What she's used, and that thought, with a sudden stride yell from the depth of my gut, it's primal and raw, and my screams reverberate out past closed eyes and turn backs. Again, the implication of what's going on. And the thought of sort of spiced into my flesh, spilling my acidic blood. It encircles your face, creating the eternal flaming rose. The idea of there's a lot of anger in that one. But she's worded this very deliberately and carefully, not to impart what actually happened, but offering up the voice that she has in here. There is a nice tone of maybe a bit of weight being lessened upon her mind and chest, because it does tell the whole story without actually being vile in the reality of what happened. So, well done, Sapphire. This was beautifully done, and definitely hold deference to the fact of what you went through, and no child, like Kate said, no child should ever have to deal on that level at all. All right, Jean, we're coming back up to you.
Okay.
John, it's quiet here, and I'm too talkative. I said it's quiet here, and I'm talking too much.
That's okay. You didn't talk enough, because I still haven't finished that damn comment. But that's okay. That's the way it goes. You know, I must type really, really slow, I'm telling you. Okay, let's see what I have here. I have the next piece. I have to open up another tab just to do it. Hi, Frank. Okay, let me send Frank a link.
Hey, Frank.
The next piece I'm going to put up is called Dracula by Arcana Amore. And I have an audio for that. So, let me hit that button. Nope, that's not the button. That is not the one I want. That's... Now I have to go to the link.
The coffin lid creaks a grimmest groan. Spidery fingers crawl forth, emerging from within, probing the surrounding veils of swirling shadows that flee the embrace of his dawning darkness. From the depths of nightmares, he slowly arises, swathed in black shrouds from head to foot. His pallid presence, damned to roam the gloom, addicted to a quest for sanguine immortality. This nefarious necromancer of noble descent melts into mist, meandering through midnight, in search of weak wills to sate his thirst, entranced by his stare of poisoned promise. His voice resonates tones of irresistible allure that speaks of desires from timeless trysts. Transfixed by the spell of his frozen clutch, he gorges on gore that seeps from surrender. With ruby red eyes that pierce the soul, he delivers his caress with a razor sharp kiss. From a deadly smile of pearlescent pain, swallowed in the abyss of his cascading cloak. His gluttony for blood empowers his essence, infecting his victims with parasitic evil, toyed with at behest of hypnotic disdain, betrothed to the influence of love's betrayal. No reflection is cast by he who loathes silver, that lines the looking glass from deep within. Only the night sees his hungry, heinous flirtations that echo his name where death descends. Dracula, 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 Dracula. Prince of vampires, Lord of the Lost, prowling the shade with insidious intent, adding to his harem of servile harlots, awaiting submission to his undead lust.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for SoundCloud. We very much appreciate it. And I guess I can't resist one. Oh, listen to the children of the night. What sweet music they make. All right, Kate.
I like that. That was very good. Oh, yes. This is my favorite thing, of course. Vampires. So fabulous. This is so well done. It just basically gives you the... Oh, I mean, look at the musty coffin lid creaks. Grimace groans. Spidey fingers crawl forth, emerging from within, probing the surrounding veils of swirling shadows that flee the embrace of his dawning darkness. I like it a lot. This was beautifully done. The voice was just perfect. Arcana for this particular poem. And as usual, lovely words, beautifully placed for me to enjoy. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Jean, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was excellent by Arcana. You know, I have to say I do enjoy his audios. We have two people that give us audios, boy, and I'll tell you, you look forward to them every week. I love this. I thought it was, there were so many detailed descriptions throughout this piece. And I thought that he just told the tale very well. You know, as I say, the audio was great. The poem was great. The detail and imagery was wonderful. I grabbed these two stanzas. His voice resonates, tones of irresistible allure. Wait a second. Now I can read it better. It speaks of desires from timeless trysts, transfixed by the spell of his frozen clutch. He gorges on gore that seeks from surrender. With ruby red eyes that pierce the soul, he delivers his caress with a razor-sharp kiss from a deadly smile of pearlescent pain swallowed in the abyss of his cascading cloak. Yeah, wonderful details throughout, and just a fabulous job, Arcana. So thank you so much for sharing this with us tonight. Much appreciate the poem.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was a nice note to that. The music was ominous and deliberate in its tone as it picked up the pace, because you knew he was coming. And this walks also deliberate. This isn't just about any Dracula. This is original. This goes back to Bram Stoker and to the original Dracula movie from Hollywood with Bela Lugosi. That idea, the musty coffin lid creaks, a grimace groan. Spidery fingers crawl forth, emerging from within, probing the surrounding veils of swirling shadows that flee the embrace of his dawning darkness. Nice tone. I like it. He's got a lot of great alliteration and some inline rhymes that just work well. His pallid presence, damned to roam the gloam. That great line, I like that. The nefarious necromancer of noble descent, again, pulling off the original story from Bram Stoker, and the hint at Vlad Tepes from Transylvania way back in the day. Let's see. Voice resonates, tones of irresistible allure. Hits on all the right points. Ruby red eyes that pierce the soul. His gluttony for blood empowers his essence, infecting his victims with parasitic evil. Oh, this is I like the back end of this, adding to his harem of servile harlots. Ooh, there's great images of that from Stoker's story. Those crawling creatures over the bed of what's his name? Now I can't remember. Damn it. As he visited Castle Dracula to get his signatures. And he was then left there to be suckled by those pale beasties. Nicely done there, Arcana. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if that's any intro to what he's coming on Darkness, that ought to be a good show.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It should be fun. Okay, Kate, I'm going to put the next piece up for you, hon. This is by Kiku, and it's called My Reasons Why Our Love Just Might Work.
So okay. I'm just going to open it, if it opens. Oh, good. Reasons Why Our Love Just Might Work by Kiku. Your love of busking to neighborhood cats, the autumn ballads, as if the six lines of your Gibson guitar were strung into a poem. It is in the way you stand, with your hands in your back pockets, because you feel confident in wearing white pressed t-shirts, even if it meant a stain after having brunch. You had no qualms. You laughed so easily. It is just part of the breath, part of the duet. My piano can chime with any jingle, and you'd pick up the rest because of your love for travel, to fall into the world, help me realize I wanted to see more with you, your lens. Photographic moments I'd never imagine. Once you spent more than 2 hours trying to explain soccer to me, knowing that it was a lost cause, I couldn't resist those excited eyes telling me about offside rules, because you knew how much I liked candles. You never forgot to light one each night, even on rainy days. We'd paint together watercolours, our ways, letting our colours be who they wanted to be. End poem.
Nice.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Dean, this is kind of a brevity for you. What do you got?
There's a lot of words here, Rex, for me. But
yeah, but it's
not...
it's packed.
Yeah, there's...
It's
right, exactly. There's not as many lines, but they're long lines. But I still think it's a brevity. I think I would still call it one, yes. You are correct. I love the detail in this piece. You know, your love of busking to neighborhood cats, the autumn ballads, that there's six lines where your Gibson guitar were sprung into the poem, into a poem. I love all the reasons why. Knowing that it was a lost cause, I couldn't resist. There's excited eyes telling me about offside rules, because you know how much I like candles. You'd never forget to light one. Just the little things in life. It's all about those little things in life, that when someone pays attention to them, they just make it, kind of makes life worth living in some ways. That sounds silly, you know, maybe I didn't quite word it right, but when somebody goes out of their way and thinks of the things that make you happy, and when you go out of your way and do the things that make someone else happy, it just makes for such a better way, you know, a better morning, better afternoon, better evening, better day, you know, better life, you know. And it's wonderful, and I think that these are some sweet reasons that she has listed off here, and I think it was just well put together. So nice job, Kiku, and I really like the piece. Very, very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. All right, Kate, mm-hmm. You got to read it. How about you?
Yes, it was a joy to read. I really enjoyed it. I was a little bit scared at first, thinking, can I get the rhythm going in this properly so as not to ruin it? But it was very easy. It's very easy to read along with it, because it basically was just very fluid, well written, and as Phil said, the sweetness of knowing that you're doing something for somebody else, making them happy, and then in turn they do something for you. It's just a lovely thing. It really is. It's all me. This is me. This is my life. To be able to care about somebody enough to want them to be happy and do the things that make them happy. I mean, I love that about spending 2 hours trying to explain soccer and the offside rule. Wow. That is dedication. That is love. Listen to that offside rule. It's such a pain. Yeah, so I thought it was lovely. I really did, and it was very well written. So thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Nice, thank you. I was going to say this is sweet, but it doesn't fit that mode. It comes off as trank, if I say sweet. But it is kind of sweet in that note, that those opening lines, your love of busking to neighborhood cats, the autumn ballads, as if the six lines of your Gibson guitar were strung into a poem. I was going to say that comes across as almost a Bob Dylan moment, but it isn't. That kind of screams of Springsteen, the T-shirts, the hands in the back pockets of the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice touch opening up. And then the thought of is the way you stand with your hands in your back pockets because you feel confident in wearing white pressed T-shirts, even if you if it met a stain after having brunch. So that there's somebody who's really comfortable in their own skin. It doesn't matter what other people think. And the idea of the spending 2 hours explaining soccer and the sort of offside rules offers up a note of humor. He knows she's not going to understand, and she doesn't tell him not to explain. There's a note of familiarity and a touch of humor, just the enjoyment in the moment, and a big smile coming across her face because she knows, but he can't resist. The idea of candles hidden on the notion of two understanding the thought of all the lights out and just having that single candle glowing in the room as you talk, have a late night meal with some wine or whatever, or listen to music, and paint together our watercolor our ways, letting our colors be who they want it to be. There's a nice ease and flow between two people in the moment with no questions, no idiosyncrasies involved. It's just a matter of the moment is fully enjoyed and not being pressed into, so to speak. That way, you offer up a note of that's how a true love evolves. You're not trying to push this into this. You're sharing equal moments, and you're sharing them equal moments because you both enjoy the same things on what you're getting into. Even if she doesn't understand the soccer angle, she enjoys listening to him trying to explain it to her. So that was lovely, Kiku. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, kids. Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is for you, Rex. And this one is Melody of Lucy Lilac 1 by Jack Blue.
Melody of Lucy Lilac 1 by Jack Blue. Am I dreaming deep like a foolish fairy, roaming recklessly beyond her wizardry, simply to believe everything she loves should be blooming bright on tomorrow's wonderland, when a starry stream trapping the Milky Way of a million light years, where no fantasy will fade or no reality can reel if a little melody whirls intermittently around her lilac crown, every fairy shares. And poem. All right, Kate.
Nice.
What do you think?
All right, Lex. Let's see what we got here. Melody of, Lucy Lilac's back again. I do like her so much. No, you're not dreaming like a foolish fairy. You're just trying to understand love, I think. Yes, everything that you love is not always going to be blooming bright, but it's a nice thought, isn't it? Where no fantasy will fade or no reality can reel if a little melody whirls intermittently around her lilac crown, every fairy shares? Yeah, this is very interesting. You might be dreaming deep. I'm looking deep. And this is just very well written. I like the brightness, and I like the starry stream, and I like the movement and the Milky Way and all of those things coming together so that you can enjoy your fairy, I suppose. But beautifully, beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, what about you?
I think, I thought this was a wonderful walk through a fairyland. Great details and lovely imagery, and I thought that Luke did a wonderful job. So well done, hon. Thanks for sharing. Yep. It was short and sweet.
Yeah,
what a wonderful melody.
The stories of fairies have been around a long, long time. I can walk that angle because of it, Melody of Lucy Lilac, impartation of, and the language, offering up a note to being a fairy, and Lucy the fairy itself. But this kind of hits also on the angle of being head over heels in love in the moment. Am I dreaming deep like a foolish fairy? That offering of she loves me, so to speak, or I love her, that's that head over heels feeling, roaming recklessly beyond her wisdom, simply to believe everything she loves should be blooming bright on tomorrow's wonderland, when a starry stream trapping the Milky Way of a million light years. there's a kind of a fantasy moment right into all that language of I should be within that light. It beckons me strongly, and she hits on that note of a world's intimately around her lilac crown. Every fairy shares. So it does hit on the idea of the fairy angle itself, but this could be that moment where everything coalesces in a singularity and the world just brightens into that touch of fantasy where she is. Well done, Jack. All right, I know. I talked too much, and I was probably way off base on that, but that's okay.
Oh, I didn't think you talked too much.
No, you
don't. I don't think
you
talked too much. I had time to type my message and everything. How about you?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think you talked too much either. So please carry on talking.
Okay, now the next one I have to read.
I tend to think a bit too abstractly sometimes.
Oh, that's good. Good. I enjoy that. Very interesting.
Okay, the next one I'm going to put up is...
People who are touched in the head. Very interesting.
I was letting you down gently, though.
Oh.
I love it.
Well, hello, Hope. How you doing? Hope's on the board.
I hope.
Kate is saying, how you doing? How you doing? Come on, Kate.
How you doing, Paul?
I love to hear that. How you doing?
Hey. How are you doing?
That's my invitation. My Scottish invitation. How you doing?
Whatever.
Whatever.
I was rapturous in the beginning, but now I'm getting off guilty here.
Oh, is that right, Paul? Actually,
that was nothing.
I got new batteries for my hearing aid or something. I can't hear tonight. But the next piece I'm going to put up is called Tango on a Weekday by Hope Soul. And she would just happen to get here in time to listen to me, so I'm bound to stumble and screw it all up. Okay, this is called Tango on a Weekday by Hope Soul. What a neat image. Carry the echo of us, written with the ink of the Milky Way's sweet condensed milk. Summer of letdown, as a goodbye makes its cursive signature in the clouds of tomorrow's 5 p.m. wake-up call. Spirits roll underneath cotton blanket of promises, crochet of vows, keeping morning biscuits warm, biscuits full alongside the windowsill. Half-empty emerald bottle from the Scottish takes the golden edge of lemon tea, soothing a throat that breathes heavy after a 24-hour travel to hold his wife's ripe mangoes. Two steps and slow dance alongside tabletop drunkards, twisted fire-eating amber leaves which dine on shots of green whiskey, thirsty goats wearing Orion's belt, maidens with ginger freckles who are too angry at a man but adore the thicker thighs of an older woman, sweet wine pumps making cheeks red and flush, phonograph turntable letting that flash of sun melt till it hurts, needle skip bearing a rhythm, taking smoke, sweat, and moan, bursting out, releasing the drought. Link twilight and lunar lyres, none can fade a shadow, can't take a memory which shaped an April's Thursday. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And I got to do this one. All right, Kate, this one screams for you because half-empty emerald bottle from the Scottish. There's a bit of whiskey rolling through this one.
Yes, that would be the kind of whiskey that you you drink without adding any water or without adding any mixer. You just have it neat. That is the only way to drink whiskey. It should never be polluted with anything else except your lips. So that suits me fine. I like this very much. So we have, and also condensed milk. Oh, condensed milk is so good. Oh,
yes, it is.
Oh, it's
oh,
so good.
I remember my grand used to use that for tea.
Yeah. It's a taste all its own. It's just magical. I love it. And it's so nice licked off your finger. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to add that part in there. Nothing to, sorry about that. A little bit too much sharing, but here we go. So, yes, beautifully. You got all the things I love in here, Hope. Thank you so much. Carry the echo of us written with the ink of the Milky Way's sweet condensed milk. Summer of letdown as goodbye makes its cursive signature in the clouds of tomorrow's 5 p.m. wake-up call. Also, somebody's going somewhere. Always sad. People leaving you behind. I don't like that. But it's you've got your whiskey and you've got your lemon tea and soothing your throat. It's always good to soothe. I can't get past this two-step and slow dance alongside tabletop drunkards, twisted fire-eating amber leaves which dine on shots of green whiskey. So we're back to this green whiskey. Does that mean it's very young or very naive, green whiskey? Perhaps not. Yes, I thought this was very well written. I really enjoyed it. And I love the older woman's deep wine pump making cheeks red and flush. It was, yeah, it's lovely. It really is. So lovely. I can just see the picture of all these things happening. yep, I can. yep, thank you so much for sharing. It was delightful.
Nice, Kate. Thank you very much. I have heard tell that a drop or two of water into the glass of whiskey opens up the flavored notes and breathing material within that glass.
You've been told
but
wrong.
Just a drop or two.
it's like putting sugar on porridge. It's not done. We don't do that.
Actually, I like sugar on porridge along with the milk.
Oh my god! Yeah. Or as we say in Scotland,
take this thing. Yeah.
Very good.
Lordy. Thank you, Kate. Jean, what about you?
Oh, I thought this was just nicely done by Hope. Great lines throughout the entire poem. And it was very enjoyable. I really liked the intro stanza. Wonderful thoughts and great imagery. I really liked how she started it out, carry the echo of us written with the ink of Milky Way's condensed milk. Summer of letdown as goodbye makes its cursive signature in the clouds of tomorrow's 5 p.m. wake up. You know, and right down to that basket full of biscuits on the windowsill. That was just a nice intro to that. And it really went somewhere after that as well. Just I have to like pick and choose each little line because they were all really good. So I think that the way it started out set the tone, and it just blew off from there. So wonderful work. Really really liked it. Very much. And tango on a weekday. I like that. Everybody tango everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's all I was gonna say.
Oh, this was a very, how do I put that one, visual piece. Man, the opening of this was gorgeous. Carry the acrobats written with the ink of the Milky Way sweet condensed milk. That is just a gorgeous opening thought. The back end of this, it hints at a little more saddened angles because the second longest piece offers up a note to where they are. This is a barroom. The thought of a half-empty emerald bottle from the Scottish takes the golden edge to lemon tea, soothing us that breathes heavy after a 24-hour travel to hold his wife's ripe mangoes. That note to taking a drink as well. He's running back to his wife. The two-step and slow dance alongside tabletop drunkards. There's the bar scene right there. Twisted fire-eating amber leaves, which dine on shots of green whiskey. That might be either, as you pointed out, as a young whiskey, but that might be the whiskey that comes from the rail, the bottom of the barrel stuff, the cheap stuff. And I like the angle she hit on here. Thirsty goats wearing Orion's belt. Maidens with ginger freckles. That's quite a contrast to the what's going on in the bar itself. Thirsty goats wearing Orion's belt. Yeah, the goats offering up the horned angle there, and maidens with ginger freckles, fresh young maidens who are too angry at a man that adores the thicker thighs of an older woman. what a slap back there, offering up the note that these guys are looking for something a little bit more than we offer. And look at our figures, and we've got some great legs here. But why stick our thighs? Making cheeks flush, red and flush. That's a nice turn of. There's almost a blushing. That is a blushing moment. Where else? Blink twilight and lunar lyres. None can stay the shadow. Can't take up memory with shape and April's Thursday. There's some bitterness in those last lines and sadness because the reality is he's just left, going back to those ripe mangoes, and she's stuck in a bar with horny goats and young maidens who are pissed off at the men because they won't pick them. Sad evening. And a sad April Thursday. Nicely done, Hope. Thank you very much. All right, Kate.
Yeah.
Okay. We're coming back to you.
You know, here we go. Putting up this piece by Silvana Five, and it's called The Last Day. So put that up, and I have an audio. Nice,
ooh.
Right? Here we go.
Yeah, that's different.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You'll wish that summer could always be here. You'll wish that summer could always.
He sits in his chair, placed near the window. Mementos of the past scattered around the one room he now calls home. Among them, pictures of his Mary, now long gone, and of his only son, taken in the war. Tears begin to fill his rheumy eyes at the thought of the long day stretching ahead. His only companion, the radio, begins playing a song that takes him back to those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. He remembered them so well. In his solitude, shadows of the past dance before his eyes. He is alone, living without love. He feels a light touch brush his shoulder. I'll be with you soon, Mary, he says aloud, closing his weary eyes.
Great read, Stelina, and thank you, Silvana, for the words to fill that voice. Lovely SoundCloud, very much appreciated. All right, Gene, what do you think?
Sorry, I'm trying to offer you. I thought the poem was very touching. Wonderful lines throughout. I think that it suited the prompt, the image, very well. You know, sitting there thinking about all the things, you know, that once were, you know, and just among them pictures of his Mary, now long gone, and of his only son taken in the war. You know, there's stories like that. There really are stories like that, and we all know it. You know, tears begin to fill his roomy eyes at the thought of his long day stretching ahead. You know, just. Yeah, you know, I think it was heartfelt and it was very touching. And that last stanza, he feels the light touch brush his shoulder. I'll be with you soon, Mary, he says aloud, closing his weary eyes. He just leaves that open-ended finish. You know, you're not sure if he's really closing his eyes for good, which is what I get from it. It was just beautifully done. And yeah, I guess it runs in the family with those two, Selena and Solana. Beautiful work. And thanks for sharing so much.
Thank you, Jean. Kate, how about you?
Well, wow. Old. It's a word that we don't really want to admit to because nobody wants to be thought of as old. But there are more and more and more of us. We're living longer. God knows why. And there's more and more of us sitting in one room and looking at mementos. And that, you know, we should band together. We should, old people, unite and band together and make life wonderful. You don't have to be on your own. It's very sad. This is very sad that somebody has lost their wife and just sits and waits for that day to come when they'll be together again. That's what happens. That's how sad that is. It's awful. So, but that last stanza just makes you feel, just makes you feel a little bit better. He feels a light touch brush his shoulder. I'll be with you soon, Mary, he says aloud, closing his weary eyes. Yes, well, that's a lovely end to a sad story, because he's now got his eyes closed, he's relaxing, and he's waiting for time to pass. Beautiful. I thought it was very well read and beautiful words, Silvana, so thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. It is a sad tale, and I like the opening. When it was upbeat, bouncy with the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, and then that quick dip into that melancholy violin set the tone for the reed itself. He sits in a chair placed near the window, mementos of the past scattered around the one room he now calls home. There's a note of sadness, a heavy sadness in there, and then pictures of his Mary, now long gone, and his only son, taken in the war. So he really is alone in that moment. But those last two stanzas hit on the back, and it drops in those lazy, easy, crazy days of summer. He remembered them so well. That takes back the trip down memory lane, which offers up those last two stanzas as a nice note to finish, because of he remembers it so well. In his solitude, shadows of the past dance before his eyes. He is alone, living without love. But then, that light touch brushes his shoulder. I'll be with you soon, Mary, he says aloud, closing his weary eyes. There is that night, that note of not just finality in the sadness, but the note of going home. So, well done, Silvana. And thank you, Selena, for doing the SoundCloud for us. All right, Jean. We're coming to you. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is called Black Sunlight by Errant Panther. And I have an audio for this one. So here we go.
Nice. Black Sunlight by Errant Panther. A juggler came to heaven with fingers made of butter, thinking he could dazzle the crowd by using some of God's clutter. He found all of the glorious hues kept beneath a rainbow light. How can I fail with tools like these? Just imagine the wondrous sight. Back to the stage he marched with seven orbs of color he did borrow. But his fingers of butter let him down, and they fell through a cloud, 'twas hollow. Blue landed in the ocean, now that was a stroke of luck, while white spread far and wide, coating almost every car and truck. Gold filled the void of an old mine shaft, crimson spilled over leaves on the ground. Pink overflowed from bottled champagne, and green hung in the air with nary a sound. On his return looking over the skies, God couldn't help but recoil in fright. The mess would be spectacular, if not for the black sunlight. End poem.
Wonderful read, Aaron. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. Much appreciated. All right, Kate, we know it's coming to you. You love that voice. So, what do you think?
Oh, I surely do enjoy that voice. I thought this was incredibly clever. It was just, you know, the black sunlight. And that last stanza brought it all together for me, because I'm wondering, where are we going with this? You know, how far along are we going to go with this? Do we have any more colors we can play with? Then we have, on his return, looking over the sky, God couldn't help but recoil in fright. The mess would be spectacular if not for the black sunlight. Very good. Very well turned. I did enjoy it. I really did. Wow. A juggler who's got fingers made of butter, that's just asking for trouble. But very well done. Thank you so much.
Well, that goes right back to that thing of somebody with butter fingers. They never hold on to things. They always fall.
Yeah.
Butter fingers, I love it.
Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a neat piece. Aaron had said that it was different than what he normally writes, and it is. I found this to be somewhat lighthearted, you know. I loved how, you know, Juggler came to heaven with butterfingers, you know. You know, darn well, he's not hanging on to anything with those. But I thought it was clever. You know, back to the stage he marched with seven orbs of color he did borrow, but his fingers of butter let him down, and they fell through the blue, landed in the ocean. Now, that was a stroke of luck. Whilst white spread far and wide, putting almost every car in front. Gold filled the void of an old mine shaft. Crimson spilled over the leaves on the ground. Pink overflowed from bottled champagne. And green hung in the air with nary a sound. You know, and I'm reading this, I'm going, okay. And by the time we get to that point, I've already forgotten the title. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. You know, on his return, looking over the skies, couldn't help but recoil in fright. The mess would be spectacular, if not for the black sunlight. And, you know, we all know how black light is. You know, black light just changes everything. So, amazing. A clever thought there, Aaron, and I think you did a nice job putting it together. Very well done.
Absolutely. It's humorous. It is funny, because it offers up a different tone, the angle of... Everybody bitches God for this, that, or the other thing. But he's offered up a nice, clean, fun angle of how God actually sprinkled the earth with everything that's here. Yes, the closing line hits on that note of, hey, right now the world's in a permanent eclipse. So there's the biting angle of humor. It's heavy in the irony angle, and I found that funny too. Nicely done, Aaron. Thank you very much.
Almost.
All right, dude.
Give me another line there, Rex. One more line of something. Sing something.
Okay. Well, I did find the thought with the, what was it? The cage.
You took too long. I'm done now.
Yeah, you know what? People love gold. You can't dig it up. It's dark outside. You can't enjoy the sun of the grass. You don't see the green, and the ocean's blue. There's no moon either. I've taken that away right now. Or actually, I haven't delivered the moon unto the earth at this point in time. So even God has a bit of humor.
Okay, no.
Might be twisted, okay, but you know what? It's funny.
I get it. What is going on with my phone? Okay, now, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put one up for you to read, Rex, and this is by Peter Chapman. So whenever you're ready.
Oh, see that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our Last Night by Peter Chapman. Can you find my son? I'm right here, Papa. He wheezes short breaths. I wrap him in a blanket, light two cigarettes, and pour two shots of whiskey. His callous hands tremble from years of forging iron, serving silk ties. You finished first in the spelling bee today. You must be proud. His eyes glitter. He smiles, then wheezes some more. We smoked and we drank all night. I laughed. I wept under the restless moonlight. And poem. Mm-hmm. All right, Gene, another bit of brevity for you.
Wow. What a beautiful little brevity this is. You know, it's another one of those that kind of, you know, pulls at your heart because, you know, if you're old enough to have an elderly parent, you can kind of relate to this. Can you find my son? I'm right here, Papa. He uses short breaths to wrap him in a blanket, light two cigarettes, and pour two shots of whiskey. Now, there you go. Because, you know, they're doing something that either they've always done all their life or something that his father liked. And, you know, comes a time where it's like, if I want a cigarette, you're going to give me a cigarette. If I want a drink, you're going to give me a drink. You know, I've worked with too many people in their 70s and 80s. Oh, you can't smoke anymore. You know, wait a minute now. Let's be realistic. You know, that's what makes them happy. You know, his calloused hands tremble from years forging iron, serving silk ties. He finished first in the spelling bee today. He must be proud. His eyes glittery, smiles. Beautiful interaction that, you know, we're being brought into with this. And I think that makes it special. You know, Dad might not be all there. You know, he may be a little confused here or a little confused there, but, you know, that's okay. It's okay. Because, you know, the reality is he still have him. You know, he can still pat his hand. You can still give him a drink. You can still have a cigarette with him. You can still make him, you know, feel not less than. And I think that's awesome. It's a wonderful job with this, Peter, and I really love how you express the emotions in this. Nice job. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Kate, how about you?
Oh, this was very well done, wasn't it? This is a sweet brevity. 75 words or less. And using a word bank. So the words he had to incorporate. A tie, a cigarette, and whiskey. And he did that beautifully. You couldn't even see the join. So I thought that was lovely. And so you have the poor dad. Can you find my son? I'm right here, Papa. He wheezes short breaths. I wrap him in a blanket, light two cigarettes and pour two shots of whiskey. It does get to that point, doesn't it, really, when you think, what the hey? Let's just enjoy the things that we like in life, even if it is only for a short amount of time. It's great to be fit and eat healthily and blah, 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 blah. We understand all of that, but it does come to a point where a little bit of what you fancy is already good. And I think this gentleman has got to that point. Yeah, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It's about how it feels to see someone leaving you when they're still there. That's very sad. So thank you so much for sharing.
You hit the nail right there, that last line, Kate. Thank you. And the title and that picture says quite a bit, as well as that opening line, can you find my son? And then the repeat, I'm right here, Papa. So all of a sudden, there is a notice and a lightning in the eyes that shows that he is there right now. And so there is that celebration, the cigarettes, the whiskey, then the offering of talking about his own son. He finished first in the spelling bee today. I mean, he must be proud. The eyes glitter. He smiles, wheezes some more. We smoked and we drank all night. I laughed. I wept. Under the restless moon, the laugh, the notation to the absolute fun they were enjoying themselves in this moment, and the weeping, the understanding somewhere along that dissipated, that note, the under the restless moonlight, they still sit there and then with the knowledge that hey, this might very well be our last night of a bit of father-son camaraderie in a moment where they get to enjoy themselves fully, laugh, and have a bit of fun, and as well as the drink, which is unfortunate but sad. And, yeah, it does happen. Don't want to go that route. All right, Jean, we're coming to you. Well, thank you, Susan.
Okay, guys. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is called The Rocking Chair by Poetic Picasso. And I have an audio for that one. Imagine that. Let me hit that button.
A misbegotten blank of the wooden floor is a lone rocking chair that begins to move, backing forth slowly, taunting you deliberately as the creaking noise is heard suddenly. A whispering eerie noise can be heard so clearly from the corner upstairs, and the cold draught piercing from outside can be felt pinching like a needle as you enter cautiously the dreary chamber of a boulder bore, with a sudden echo resounding against the four hollow walls. Hear the footsteps of an unknown stranger, the voices of children singing nursery rhymes. It is madness, you ask. A paranormal event, untold, the ominous shriek of a woman. Are you hearing surreal things of which are not real at all? The hairs on your skin rise uncontrollably and tingle nervously, and you feel the chills running down your spine as a mysterious shadow scurries across the room to the daunting corner. The sound grows louder. You begin to feel the vapour of a haunting breath of a ghost upon your neck discompose as the deep breathing gets even louder in sound. And the rocking chair begins to move back and forth once more, rocking your little brain. A lone shadow stands behind you, the whispers of, I live.
Thank you, Frank, for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciate it. All right. Nice one, Machine. All right, Kate, we're going to you first. You got your skin left on?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Frank, what are you doing to this poor little old lady? That is too creepy. That laugh. I knew that laugh was coming. You didn't even have to tell me. I knew. I had my headphones off just before he started it. It just gives me the shivers. Just, whoa, chills down my spine, which is exactly what we have here. I love this. Are you hearing surreal things of which are not real at all? Paranormal event. I do love paranormal events. But this is very, very well done. I really enjoyed it. I love the creepiness, mysterious shadows, and scurries across the room. That's just awful. I like it very much, but don't write this kind of stuff too often, because you're making an old lady get older by the second. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm going to have to remember to bring one of these myself.
Oh, no. Not you as well. Oh, my God.
Oh, I've got some. Yeah, I got a wicked laugh. Nasty. It'll make your head roll.
Oh.
All right, Jean, what do you say?
I like this piece by Frank, you know. But I tend to like his dark pieces, but this is haunting, to say the least. I loved his sound effects throughout. You know, the rocking chair, the child's voice, the woman shrieking. I don't, you know, maybe I just don't know this thing, but I don't remember having a piece from Frank before that had all those little intricate parts slip into the audio. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe I just took it as all background, just those are the background sounds, not individually, say, a real point of inquiry, how he did it. But I think that each one of these stanzas is wonderful. And Pete, I wasn't sure if you were, I think he's trying to give you a heart attack with that laughing at the end of these. I do. I'm not too sure, but I have that feeling.
me too.
And this is for a haunted house contest. So I think that he met that challenge well, very well. Wonderful imagery and thoughts throughout. So great job, Frank, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Excellent job.
Nice, Jane. And you're right. Frank usually does the background music and gives a voice, and he might even do that little a creaky voice when it comes to it. This definitely went in a little bit further, as you hit on the with the, you had the children playing, and then you had the little whispering angle in there, and so many other little touches that made this what it was. And I like that, because when you add those little touches, besides the voice that you offer in it, it makes the piece jump off the page, and you get to feel a little bit more, which offers up that eeriness. And I like those notes. So, Frank, you did a great job with this. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jane.
We're coming up back to you.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up, Kate, I'm going to put this up for you to read. And this is called Left River of Blood by Darkened Aura. So whenever you're ready.
Okay. Oh, I've got it. Good. I've got it. Right. She left a river of blood. Oh, ooh, fabulous. She had made a slave of sexual deviance, just a plaything to toss around, used for their vile pleasures at night, and during the day she was bound. Her eyes grew cold like embers, but still there was a fire within. She took it in stride and bided her time, knowing one day she would win. One night the men had gotten too drunk, didn't bind her restraints after their play. They say she set the place ablaze and left a river of blood as she walked away. A church house full of mangled men, with one vital piece in shreds, she made sure to leave a horrific scene, one that every man dreads. She made sure to drag her captors out so the evidence would not turn to ash. This is what happens when horrible people and their traumatized victims clash. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, tell us what you think.
You know, I think this is a very a very well-expressed piece. Not, you know, great lines, great stanzas throughout. Her eyes grew still. There was a fire within. She took it in stride and bided her time, knowing one day she would win. One night the men had gotten too drunk, didn't bind her restraints after their play. They say she sent the place of blaze and left the river of blood as she walked away. Paybacks are rough, man. Paybacks are really rough. And what a crazy image. So, I mean, you know, if she went by the image, good for her. You know, I mean, I think she nailed it. You know, a church house full of mangled men with one vital piece in shreds. Made sure to leave a horrific scene, one that every man dreads. I don't know. I think this is wonderful. I think there's great rhymes, great meter. You know, as I say, payback's come rough, and I think she nailed it with us. So well done, Christina. Thanks for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Kate, mm-hmm. How about you? You got to read it.
Oh, yes, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I actually wrote to this picture as well. What I did was I took two different contests. I wrote one for this one and a corresponding one for the other one. And they're two cousins and they're fighting. So, yes, it was very interesting. I enjoyed it. And this is taking this picture and taking all that information from it. And you can see her as being a slave. sexual deviance. You can see that in her eyes and her face, that she's ready for revenge. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I like the fact that they got drunk and she made her move. And boy, did she make her move. A church house full of mangled men with one vital piece in shreds. He made sure to leave a horrific scene on that every man shreds. That's very well put, isn't it? So good. Yes, there's so many things that I enjoyed. That last stanza as well, wonderfully written. So thank you for sharing that with us. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. I got to go with Tonight, we have a tale of blood and vengeance. And everybody gets bobbitized. That second last stanza, it's all out there in facial view. Hey, guys, watch your willy. This one's coming to town, and she's looking for blood.
I never thought I'd ever hear you say, look at guys, watch your willies. thank you for that. That was you in the garden with your shorts on. That's made my evening. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
All right, Jean. Well, we got time for one more.
I know. I got to figure out where I'm going. I'm going here. Okay. I'm going to grab this
one.
Well,
as long as you're not going down the bobbitizing road, you'll be all right.
And as long as I'm not going where?
Down the bobbitizing road.
Oh, no. No, nothing. I'm going to put this piece up for you, Rex. And this is by Nuno Cardoso, but not goodbye until we meet again.
Not goodbye until we meet again by Nuno Cardoso. The love that resides inside the eyeballs that weep for foreign tongues, soon to depart back to the dark gray, thunder-filled, cloudy, porchless sky, a star that swims within, the fizz of water that sparkles and fails, on cats that bake high noon cookies, with their paws on California king-size white ovens. It's where butterflies die, but wedding rings breathe, the same place where children laugh and scream, and where grins rejoice with the corn on the cob, floating on caldo de res alongside partisan carrots, into red La Soda potatoes with the skin still on, rice stained with broth and love and Tex-Mex you. And phone. Well, I see some flavor in there. What do you think, Bill?
I think this is a sweet poem. I'm only speculating here, but it sounds like Nuno went home. Makes me want to pout. But I think he left this as a beautiful, sweet poem for hope. And I think it was just nicely done. Great thoughts running through it. I'm sure experiences shared and what have you. And really well done, Nuno. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And, it's excellent. So hopefully, we'll hear you back on the phone soon.
Well, thank you, Jean. And how about you?
This is very sweet. This is all about loving somebody and being happy to be with them. But I like so much. It's where butterflies die, but wedding rings breathe. Oh, that's just beautiful sentiment. The same place where children laugh and scream, and where grins rejoice with corn on the cob. Yeah, it paints a beautiful picture of all the lovely food that you might enjoy, along with the fact that he's with this person that he loves, and so he's a very happy chap. So thank you for sharing that with us. It was most enjoyable.
Nice, thank you. You look at that tray, that kind of hints at the idea of Is that an on-play meal? Do they even do that anymore? Or is it just kind of foam boxed and still rubberized in the microwave? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this does kind of hit me. That opening angle, the love that resides inside the eyeballs of weak foreign tones, it's a trip aboard, soon to depart back to the great, dark gray thunder-filled cloudy porch in the sky. A star that swims within the fizz of water that sparkles and falls on cats that bake high noon cookies with their paws on California king-size white ovens. So there's that idea of you're going back home to Portugal, but it's those it's the taste you found alongside those California king-size white ovens and the Tex-Mex sort of food, the flavors, the idea of that fresh corn on the cob. You've got the carrots, you got red potatoes with skin still on, rice stained with broth, and love, and Tex-Mex. The Tex-Mex imparts the nice heavy aromas to flavor, cayenne pepper, chili, garlic, and a host of other flavors that get worn into the food. So it hits the idea of, yeah, I may be going home, but I'm definitely back with some more of that food because, yes, California and the Tex-Mex angle, I'm coming back to fill my belly once more. All right, Gene, we're coming to you.
Okay, well, we got 3 minutes left, so I can't work any miracles fast now. But thank you, Kate, for joining us tonight. It's always great to have you join in and have some fun with us. Rex, thank you, as always, for being my co-host. You know, you make it run so smooth. It's wonderful. And I want to thank everyone who submitted poetry for tonight. I do have some carryovers, so don't let anybody be surprised. But we have Ben Hart, Joseph Moon, Mystic Muse, Scott Sharp, and Jack. And I'll put those all on Friday's board for next week. Sorry I couldn't make it down the list quick enough, but, you know, we have to give you some time. And I look forward to reading those next week. Yeah, so great show, everybody. Wonderful pieces submitted. Great comments from you, too. And yeah, I had some fun with the people on the board, too. You know, thank you, Frank and Hope and Erin Panther for hanging out with us. And I don't know, I might have missed somebody because I'm not really good at reading the board at the same time I'm trying to do the show because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Let's just be honest. But anyway, wonderful night tonight. And I hope you all take care of yourself. Have a wonderful weekend. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing you all next week. Well, Sunday. I only get till Sunday. And then you all stuck with seeing me for a little while. Anyway, take care of yourselves. Be good.
Good night, everybody. Good night. It's been a
good night, all.
So, I tried gin.
Yeah, my daughter bought some White Claw. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like vodka soda kind of thing. They're real light flavored, but they're decent. And I drank one of them and I started laughing at myself. I'm like, you ain't the girl you used to be. It made me laugh. So that had me cracking up. But anyway, guys, I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much for hanging with me tonight. And yeah. Yes. Rex, what's on Sunday? What the hell day is today? You'd think I was drinking. What's our Sunday show?